Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to This Week in Worthless Knowledge. My name's Johnny Goodtimes.
And I am Nat the Truth Jones.
Man, I have got a doozy for this week. I have got a topic that is one of my favorite topics we've ever found. You know, I know I'm starting off the show with a lot of hype.
I'm very excited, but I'm also a little bit worried because I have a real history of getting overly excited about things and then being disappointed if they're not as great as advertised. So you're really building me up here.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even tell Nat what the topic was because I wanted to spring it on him like on live radio here, which you will then hear in 4 days.
A live radio that I will then edit and repackage to the consumer in any way I see fit.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about kind of life. You know, I think you kind of have to go on sort of a baseline, because if you go on a baseline, then when really exciting things happen, you get really excited. And when bad things happen, you don't have quite as far to fall.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I mean, I think that's kind of the way you have to approach things, right? Like, you don't want to start just completely pessimistic, because then even, like, awesome things only get you but so high.
Really uplifting thing to say, Johnny.
You know, just kind of throwing some philosophy out there to start. Speaking of getting high, I'm going to be in Denver all weekend. Have you been out there before?
Have I ever been to Denver?
Yes.
Yes, but not since weed was, like, all up in it again.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I think it's a great city. You know I'm a Denver Broncos fan.
Sure.
And the best fish experience I ever had was 4 days at Red Rocks in 1996. I think there might have been some weed there. I don't remember. But
yeah, I mean, there's been some rumors being kicked around that there are some drugs at some of these fish shows, which has me concerned.
I've never personally seen any.
Well, no. But you were sitting in the VIP section.
I was, and I also haven't been to a fish show in, I think, 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, you used to go to fish shows and drink cognac.
I would just sit there and, you know, kind of cross my legs and tap my feet to the beat and and then kind of discuss things afterwards over a latte.
Sure. Now, that's the way to do a fish show, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking about hiking out to Red Rocks just to see. I heard it's pretty amazing.
It's fantastic.
I've been a couple of times over the past few years. It's a cool town. I like Denver. It's definitely a fun place to go, and it's definitely very interesting to be in a town where, like, there are, like, you know, giant buildings with pot leaves on the front of them.
And also, it's a John Elway hero worship town, which is awesome.
Right, because he is your hero.
He is my hero.
February 22nd, 1997. Scottish scientists announce they have created a cloned sheep. You probably remember this.
Dolly.
Dolly was the name of the sheep, yeah. And I mean, kind of like interesting to me that these were Scottish scientists. Like, we don't hear a lot from Scottish scientists, I don't feel like.
Basically, they just kind of were waiting in the grass and then just pounced and were like, hey, guess what? We've cloned a sheep.
Right, yeah. Yeah, like you know, the Scots didn't send a man to the moon. Right. I mean, the Scots didn't create, a vaccine for smallpox. Like, the Scottish scientists have just been really laying low in the grass all these years and then suddenly fly out and like, oh, yeah, oh, by the way, we can make new animals out of old animals.
It was kind of like Gerardo just was sitting there. No one was paying attention to him. Bam, all of a sudden Rico Suave came out.
You know, kind of declared that he was rich and smooth. But at a time where I can't imagine he was rich.
No, he was always smooth, probably. Little known fact, the two of us performed that at the foreign language banquet.
Took home second place, I believe.
Took home second place.
Although I didn't say a word of Spanish in my rhyme because I didn't know Spanish.
I didn't say a single word of Spanish in my rhyme either.
We were just mumbling things about Doritos and Fritos, but it was such a high, you know, so many beats per minute that the judges couldn't even tell.
We did do a pretty good choreographed dance at the end, though.
That's what took us over the top.
Yeah. Good times.
All right, first question, and then we'll get deeper into this. Would you want to be cloned?
Great conversation starter here.
Yeah.
Would I want to be cloned personally? Do you mean like cloned like there's another Nat walking around the house and stuff? Or do you mean like cloned and then kept in a facility like so I could have his liver once I drink myself almost to death?
I mean,
because those are two very different scenarios, but
sure.
Both very valid. Like, are you asking me like
the latter is probably closer to reality than the former, although the former to me is much more exciting.
What, having another Nat?
Correct. And it wouldn't necessarily be walking around the house. You wouldn't have, I mean, but it kind of would, because you'd essentially be giving birth to another Nat.
I would.
And you'd then have to raise this Nat.
I would argue with you that the other way would be pretty exciting too, because if the gnat that was being used just as an organ harvester is anything like the regular gnat, he would be intensely thinking about a way to break out and kill the real gnat for inflicting this horrible, horrible nightmare of a life on him, which is pretty exciting.
Right, right. It's exciting. It is.
Wow. So what you're really saying is, like, what I'm really suggesting here is, would you like to produce a highly intelligent super nemesis for yourself just for excitement purposes?
Right, right. Or would you like to, you know, basically raise a version of yourself?
Yeah, I would. Like as a friend, like in the house.
Essentially, would you want to raise your twin?
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
Wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. That would freak me out.
Your kid looks a lot like you, by the way.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, don't you think it would just be like, having a son?
He's not my twin. He's not my 41 years separated twin.
It's 41 years. It's not, I mean, what would be more interesting is if they could get him up to your age.
Right. Well, that's kind of the third thing is, like, you know, if we really want to go sci-fi with it, which isn't really possible, but I think, you know, it's funny because I think that's what people think of when they think of clone.
Right.
Their thought is, oh, they're just going to duplicate me.
I'm going to discuss that in a minute.
And that's not how it works. I mean, essentially, they take your DNA and then they inject it into a surrogate. Now, that which leads to my next question, which is, do you think your wife would agree to be the surrogate for your clone?
I mean, under present conditions?
Yeah. Like you said, hey, honey, you sat her down at the dinner table. And he said, hey, listen.
All these hypotheticals, by the way, all these hypotheticals that we put out that involve our wives, they all begin with us sitting our wives down at the dinner table. Like, at some point, my wife is going to just stop accepting my invitation to sit down at the dinner table because I'm about to come up with some harebrained scheme that's going to endanger us or bankrupt us or, you know, result in me maiming myself for profit. You know what I mean? She's like, you know what? Let's sit on the sofa.
Like, she's just sitting in the den, and all of a sudden she hears, dear, why don't you come on in here? I got something I want to talk to you about.
At the dinner table.
And she's just going to be like, why?
We're not eating dinner.
Please sit me down.
But like, I need you at the table.
The 19th century? Like, can't we just have a discussion in the kitchen while I'm getting cooking dinner?
No. We need to have a seat at the table. And the reason for that is...
I love how, like, it projects us as if we're, like, mature adults who sit down with our wives at the dinner table and have grown-up discussions.
I always picture myself wearing, like, a smoking jacket and slippers when I do that, even though I don't have either of those things.
Right, when in fact, the more likely scenario is like me sitting on the couch, like reading fantasy baseball magazines and saying, oh, hey, by the way, thinking about cloning myself.
Right. And I would like you, sweetheart, to be the surrogate for said clone.
Which?
What do you think of that?
It's not like you'd be like, listen, two things to tell you here. First of all, I want to have a clone of myself. And second, I want the surrogate to be one of the 3,000 women I have stored in a nearby warehouse.
And then if she rejects that, then you could say, well, how about if you do it, even though that was your first choice?
Right. I mean, I'll say, look, I was thinking of you. I didn't think you'd want to be pregnant with my clone. But if you do, wow, I'm flattered.
That's fantastic. Now, you should work it in with a bunch of stuff.
I don't know if you'd noticed, but we are a couple weeks behind on the cable bill. And one more thing. What was it? Oh, right. I want to have a clone and I want you to carry it to term.
And I've already made a substantial down payment to that effect.
Right. I think it's important that whenever we come up with these harebrained schemes, we always make a down payment before we tell our wives, because otherwise they're going to talk us out of these great ideas.
It's got to be a significant down payment, too. Yeah. Not the type of thing that our family could recover from.
$100.
No, we wouldn't be able to recover from it easily.
Right. No, like a $5,000 down deposit, like, look, that was the deadline, or it was going to go up to $6,000. So don't blame me. I'm the one saving us money.
Right. This clone's going to pay for itself.
All right. So I was reading about it.
So wait, you asked if my wife would be the surrogate, and under our current situation, no, definitely not. But if we were in a situation where, like, somehow that was our only way to have a kid or something, yeah. I mean, I can't imagine what scenario we'd be in where that became our only option.
Wait, so you're saying that if you approached your wife with this scheme, she would say no?
I don't think she would do it. I mean, we already have two children. We're pretty old.
Right. But you would say, listen, I've you know, this might come off as a little bit egomaniacal, but I just really, really don't think my life will be complete unless there is an exact replica of me.
The problem is then my wife has to be pregnant again. And from what I understand, that's no picnic.
I mean, that's definitely an issue. And that's definitely why I kind of thought, like, that's why I was going to take it to one of the 3,000 concubines that I have in my harem.
That's not a bad plan B.
Yeah, and that way, like, my wife wouldn't even have to deal with that part of it.
You're really actually making this very, very easy on your wife.
Exactly, and I don't understand why she's just absolutely furious about the whole thing, when I've tried to set this thing up as smoothly and easily as possible. So I'm reading about this thing, and pretty amazing quote. Dr. Robert Lanza, chief scientific officer at the biotech company Advanced Cell Technology, talking about where we are currently with, like, human cloning.
Yeah, talk to me. I think about this all the time, but I admit that I don't have much actual knowledge of it.
It's like sending your baby up in a rocket, knowing there's a 50-50 chance it's going to blow up. It's grossly unethical. Kind of leads to another question. If you could be 100% certain...
that your baby would blow up in a rocket?
No, that your baby would go up in a rocket and survive.
Okay.
Would you send your baby up in a rocket?
100% survival rate?
Yeah.
Well, how long is he going to be up there for?
Just a few hours. I mean, just enough to get up into space, like a day.
What's the payoff for this? Like, what's the pro?
The payoff is that your baby went into space. I mean, it's one of the few baby. It's probably the only baby that's ever been to space.
But he's a baby. He's not going to remember it.
Right. I mean, I think, like, my son.
He's just going to be, like, hungry.
Right. My son is really kind of on the... is really, I think, the place that we need to look at. Like, your older daughter, sure. Yeah, you would definitely send her up. That'd be amazing. She would never forget it.
She wouldn't do it, though.
She wouldn't?
Nah.
If you said, do you want to go up into a rocket?
If I came with her, she'd go, probably.
Right, yeah. Sending them up by themselves is pretty scary.
No, I guess I wouldn't. I mean, I like the 100% success rate.
Sure.
But, I mean, I also think, you know, if I just kind of held him for those 5 hours, it would be pretty close to 100% that he'd survive.
Yeah.
But your wife would never let you blast your kid up into space.
Oh, no way. Because he's, like, at the age where, like, he's right on the cusp of it might be his first memory.
First memory is his father forcibly packing him into a rocket.
There's going to be a window to, like, see the Earth from space.
This is him lying on a psychiatrist's couch 30 years later. Being like, what's your first memory? Well, I remember my father. He was kind of an eccentric type. I remember him strapping me into a rocket ship. Against my mother and my wishes, and just blasting me into space, just for the hell of it.
And he said, don't worry, this is guaranteed to succeed.
For some reason, I've had a hard time trusting people since then. Do you think it's related at all?
Again, there's going to be a window on the front of this rocket ship.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Oh, yeah, doctor, I was being unfair. There was a window.
I mean, his first memory is going to be seeing the Earth from space.
His first memory is going to be seeing that you and your wife pressed up against that window and then getting smaller and smaller. It's not like the memory just starts randomly once he's up in space.
I mean...
Unless you were going to drug him. Are you suggesting you would drug your son?
No, of course not.
Okay. Just blast him in a rocket.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're just...
I'm not a monster.
I mean, if you want to just look at all the negatives, that's your prerogative. All right, so here we go. Some more clone stuff. All right, so there's also the potential for someone to clone you illegally.
Like, without you knowing?
Correct.
Wow.
All they'd have to do is gather the required biological material, like skin or blood cells.
Which is not much, right?
Right, and hire a willing surrogate to carry your clone to term.
Right.
Raises the question. Would you be outraged if one day you were walking down the street and suddenly you saw someone who looked exactly like you and you realized that you had been cloned without your permission? Or would you be somewhat flattered that someone had taken all that time and energy to clone you of all people?
I think that I would be mostly outraged. I'd have a lot of questions. I think I'd get really, really paranoid. What in the world?
Oh, absolutely.
Flattered? I don't know. I mean, there would have to be something nefarious about it.
Right, yeah. I mean, he stole your skin cells.
Yeah, I see him walking down the street like he's in the same town as me. That's not a coincidence.
Nah.
That's somebody playing head games with me, man.
Right, that's true. Yeah, somebody's messing with you. When somebody clones you entirely from skin cells without ever letting you know, and then suddenly sets that clone free in your town.
So he sets him free.
so that there's a really high chance that you bump into them at like the grocery store.
What about you? Would you be flattered?
No, I'd be freaked out.
You'd be freaked out, right? I mean, I'd be outraged, but it's like the type of thing, it's like I'm never going to get to the bottom of it. I'm not a detective.
Right. And the other problem with cloning is that you can also do it indefinitely. Like they could produce 25 of you and have them all walking around the town. And that would really take it over the top. Like if there was one, I'd be like, okay, maybe there was a mistake here.
A mistake.
If it's 25, I mean, the town's just crawling with them.
It's not like just leaving the oven on or something. I mean, it's a process. Would you then try to make friends with the guy?
I don't know, because I'd want to know what happened. But if he didn't know anything, no, I don't want to be seen with him, because then people are just going to get weirded out. But then your life's ruined because people could see him. Like, he could be, like, you know, breaking into, like, a jewelry store.
What if he just started doing quizzos?
Yeah.
You'd be ruined. Ruined!
You know, I would say, no, listen, this is the real me. But then he would say the same thing. He'd say, no, these are the real quizzos.
I'd have you both at gunpoint, and you'd both be trying to convince me to shoot the other one, and I'd have to decide.
Right.
I'd probably shoot you. We'd assume it was the right one. You'd like be like, thank goodness you shot the right one. And then as the camera panned away, you would kind of cut your eyes to the camera, thus implying that I had in fact killed the original Johnny.
Right. Yeah. I would give like a sort of a dark look.
A sly look to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What's your stance on, cloning famous people and, dinosaurs and stuff?
I mean,
George Washington. Let's say we could clone George Washington just as a starting point.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't go with Washington.
You're more of a Hitler guy?
Yeah, right. I like how you make that immediate.
I had already decided that whoever you rejected, I was going to come back strong with Hitler.
I was going to go with Jefferson, and you just went straight for head Nazi. That's pretty good.
All right, so we agree. You'd like to see Hitler cloned.
Right. Yeah, I can't wait till my clone, like, takes this clip from the podcast in an effort to discredit me without any context, and all it just says is, okay, so we agree. You both want to have you definitely want to have Hitler cloned.
It's on your Facebook page.
Right, yeah.
So who would you like to see cloned, or if anybody?
I mean, I don't know. The whole thing definitely freaks me out. At the same time, it's kind of exciting. Like, because, you know, Jefferson couldn't have kids.
Jefferson had a bunch of half-black kids.
I know. I was wrong. Washington couldn't have kids.
Oh.
So if he got cloned, you know, they could make the argument that, hey, this is, you know, what he always wanted.
Was he shooting blanks, or was it full-on, like, erectile dysfunction? Like, you know, he comes in and, like, we give him some Viagra, and all of a sudden it's like, wow.
No, I mean, that's the thing. I think he was shooting blanks. I mean, you know, I wasn't in the room.
No.
So it's hard for me to say with any certainty, but I'm guessing that, because his wife had kids previously.
Right.
And, of course, their descendants we actually know.
Right.
Strangely enough. But Washington and her never had any kids. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you could make the argument that, hey, we finally got another Washington. Because it is kind of amazing, like, the father of our country, like, wasn't the father of any children.
Yeah, but you're not interested in cloning him? Who do you want to clone? Give me your top three clones.
You know, would it be cool to, like, hang out with Thomas Jefferson's clone? Yeah, but I mean, Thomas Jefferson has like a million descendants. That's pretty close.
Thomas Jefferson would be so low on my list.
What are you talking about? He's like the most fascinating founding father. He knew like 8 languages and like started his own college and traveled all over the world. And all right, Ben Franklin, how about that?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're talking small potatoes here.
Who do you want? Jesus?
I guess the short answer is no. I'm not cloning Jesus. So I may be interested in, you know, like Alexander the Great, Genghis Khan. What about like Da Vinci? I feel like he would be a lot more interesting than Thomas Jefferson.
Well, yeah, but Da Vinci was a goof.
Thomas Jefferson was like a failed businessman that was like ridiculously in debt and was basically seemed like one of these guys that was just like, you know, like trying to stay ahead of his creditors his whole life when he wasn't having sex with slaves.
Yeah, and I mean, he was sketchy, but like Da Vinci, the crazy thing about Da Vinci is Da Vinci didn't really create much.
I'm kind of talking out of my ass with Da Vinci. I mean,
Da Vinci actually is a great one because you're right. He would be fascinating to like have a beer with.
Sure.
Because, like, he had these just maniacal ideas. He never followed through on them. Like, they were all ideas. He's like, okay, look at this. Look at the helicopter. Look at this. Helicopter. You're like, oh, my God, a helicopter. And it's like, all right, well, now what are you going to
do? And he's just like, nothing. Now I'm going to show you how I can write in mirror script with both hands.
Right. He was like king of the parlor trick.
And now, if you'll look in your right front pocket, you'll notice the Eight of Diamonds is there.
I mean, yeah, Da Vinci would probably be the best one to clone because he would be the most fun to hang out with.
I'd probably be more interested in Lincoln than Jefferson.
Lincoln was fascinating. He wasn't as complex, I don't think, or as like schooled as Jefferson.
But Jefferson's like an aristocrat. Like, I don't know. I'm not.
Right. He might have been kind of obnoxious.
I mean, I'm not interested in that type.
Really. Yeah. No, I mean, Lincoln was definitely down to earth. Jefferson probably wouldn't have like had us over.
No, he wouldn't have had us over.
He'd be like, oh, you guys host a podcast?
And he'd look at me and he'd be like, you went to Virginia Tech? I don't think so.
Oh, Radford? Yeah, how'd that work out? All right, we are going to move back in time to February 23rd, 1455, the date accepted by most scholars as the day the first Gutenberg Bible was printed.
What's that? He was the printing press guy, right?
I mean, he's definitely top five most important people of the second millennium. I mean, it completely changed the world.
But yeah, he's in the conversation for top five. I agree.
Before that, everybody was illiterate, except for like people that ran churches, and they like lorded that fact over everybody else because nobody else could afford buy books because books were so expensive because you had to handwrite all of them.
Right.
Handwriting a book would just be brutal. So Gutenberg creates this printing press, goes deeply in debt to do it.
Right.
Brother-in-law or something like invested heavily in him, and like his brother-in-law kept losing money and finally sued him. Like the whole thing, like it's a pretty wild story of like this guy who's just created this thing that's just blown, you know, just completely altered the course of human history, is like being chased around by creditors from town to town. He's like, oh, we got to move the printing press to the next town.
Right. We don't want it confiscated.
So in 2009, so now obviously he made a bunch of copies of this Bible. Like he made other things as well to kind of pay off while he was producing the Bible because he knew the Bible was going to be like his big seller.
Yeah.
People were really into the Bible in 1455.
That was like Dianetics today, probably.
Yeah, probably. So he cranks out like a fair amount of these, and there's like 40 or 50 of them still around.
Of actual original Gutenberg Bibles?
Right. We could buy like a page of one.
What, they cut them up?
Yeah, well, I mean, some of them have like deteriorated over time.
Okay.
You know, you can buy like single pages, and it's kind of amazing. Like the price varies depending on, you know, which book of the Bible it is and stuff. So the last one sold, of a complete one, sold for $2 million, but that was in 1978.
That sounds actually strangely reasonable.
Yeah, totally. And the price of a complete copy today is estimated to be $25 to $35 million. Individual leaves now sell for $20,000 to $100,000.
You mean like a page?
Yeah. So I mean, well, like a page in the back of the page, which makes me think like maybe we need to start, you know, some sort of fundraiser.
I thought you were going to go a different place. I thought you were going to suggest we start forging original pages from Gutenberg Bibles.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
Selling them.
Yeah, no, I like where you're going with that. But we just got to make sure the public never finds out. The way to do that is to discuss it on this podcast.
Right, that's the one way to make sure no one will hear it.
That's right. This is probably more secure than discussing this on the phone.
I know, seriously. Like, there's, you know, if you figure any conversation we have on our cell phones, there's anywhere from, you know, 50 to 200 government, you know, agents listening in. This one, you know, our parents maybe.
I mean, your wife, not mine.
My wife's, her listening's dropped off a little bit.
It's been bad all around. I mean, you know, we kind of hit this high watermark where America was just clamoring for us. And now we're kind of like a couple of grizzled old stars that just spend our time on the podcast regaling in tales of the glory days.
I'll tell you what we are. We're walking jokes.
All right. So in 2009. Several bumbling members of the Russian FBI stole a copy of the Gutenberg Bible from Moscow University. They tried to sell it for $1 million.
$1 million.
Yeah, which is needless to say a fraction of what it's worth. But these guys didn't know what they were doing. They suddenly had access to a Gutenberg Bible. And that's the thing. None of them have sold since 1978. So what are you going to do? Like, that's kind of the problem, is that if suddenly a Gutenberg Bible comes on the market, anybody interested in the Gutenberg Bible is probably going to be like, I don't know about this.
Because, you know, the museum right down the street just had theirs stolen.
Really? Well, that is weird, because this one's been in my family for like 500 years now. If you got your hands on a Gutenberg Bible, is there any like right course of action? Do you go to like a rare book collector and like a seedy part of town?
What do you mean if I got my hands on one? Did I get it illegally?
Yeah, you got it illegally.
Because I guess my question to you would be, if you got that or anything, any kind of priceless, what percentage of what it was probably worth would you be trying to get for it? Like, what's the discount that you expect to take if you're trying to sell something like that that's obviously stolen?
The problem is that if you go too cheap, people are going to think it's a fake.
Let's say a Gutenberg Bible is worth $30 million.
Right.
What are you going to try to sell it for?
I mean, well, that's the thing. I mean, you got to be so dumb to make the effort.
Well, let's say for the purposes of this discussion, now, let's say I'm pretty dumb.
Okay.
Real dumb.
Right.
But smart enough to steal this somehow.
I'm just trying to think of, like, who would be... I don't have any friends, you know. I don't have any friends that have a lot of money and, like, interest in a Gutenberg Bible. You'd have to find, like...
You know what? Neither do I. Why don't I have a bunch of rich friends?
Yeah. I mean, well, they gain nothing by hanging out with you.
Well, that's true. But my poor friends don't gain anything from hanging out with me either.
Yeah. It's a real mystery why anybody hangs out with you at all.
So if you got a Gutenberg Bible that was worth, say, $30 million...
I'm going to sell it to you for $2.2 million, which is exactly what the last one sold for in 1978.
See, I don't have $2.2 million. I just don't.
Right.
Let's say I cashed out everything I had, equity in my house. Let's say I could come up with $300,000. And I was like, look, this is all I got. Would you take it?
Oh, absolutely.
You would take it for a Gutenberg Bible?
Absolutely. I mean, that's 100% markup if I got the thing stolen.
It's an infinity percent markup if you got it stolen.
And I guess that leads to the next question, as all these discussions always do. How would your wife react if you told her that you had given up the house and all of your family's possessions for one Gutenberg Bible that you are pretty sure is authentic?
Oh, she would be so mad.
She's furious. However, if you could turn around and sell it.
But I can't.
Right, because it's hot.
And because I don't know anybody with any money.
Well, I mean, at that point, you put it like, you know, you take it to like...
On Craigslist or something?
Well, you don't take it to Craigslist. You're not going to sell a Gutenberg Bible on Craigslist.
And you might get murdered.
Right, yeah, yeah. You show up in like some abandoned warehouse with a Gutenberg Bible in your hands. Suddenly a couple guys with baseball bats come out from behind some pillars. Say, hey, listen, we heard you had a Gutenberg Bible.
Well, you heard right.
I heard you had $5 million. Right. And they say, well, only one of those things is true.
And then the beating commences.
Right, right. And then how mad is your wife?
At that point, you just hope the beating kills you.
How we gave up everything for that Gutenberg Bible, and I tried to sell it on Craigslist for $5 million.
All right, so here's the final scenario, and then I want to move on. So, you said,
well, I thought I had a buyer.
So, right, this is the last scenario. You put the Gutenberg Bible on Craigslist, right? Somebody expresses interest. They want to meet you in an abandoned warehouse, like, you know, at midnight in like a bad part of town. You agree when they say they're going to bring you $5 million. You show up there. A bunch of guys, like, you know, it turns out there's like six guys there. They immediately take the Bible from you and begin like beating you with bats and pipes. Here's my question. At that point, are you just like kind of hoping that they kill you? Because the alternative is going home and explaining to your wife exactly what's transpired. Keep in mind that, like, you don't have a house anymore.
No.
You and your wife are probably living in your Honda Civic.
To get up to the 300K, let's be honest, we probably had to call in a few favors and, like, borrow a couple bucks from, like, a couple friends.
Right.
Like, if you were like, hey, listen, Johnny, I have a opportunity here of a lifetime to buy a Gutenberg Bible for 300K. Like, is there any chance I could borrow like 2,000 bucks?
And you probably do that to every person that you know. And right. So you've burned bridges.
So you have no house, you have no possessions, and you're down 100K.
My question is, once the beating starts, do you just kind of hope they? I mean, you're sitting there thinking like, well, I hope they kill me.
No, I'm coming up with another harebrained scheme to make that money back.
All right. Well, I think I'd go for death. February 28th, 2004, the 24th Golden Raspberry Awards. Those are the Razzies for awful movies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure.
Jiggly wins the 24th Golden Raspberry Award for worst movie. This movie, I have not seen Jiggly, although I got to say, I read it.
Is it Jiggly or Geely?
I don't know, dude. I haven't seen it, so I don't know how they pronounce it. It's spelled G-I-G-L-I. Sounds like you know a lot about this movie.
Nobody's named Giggly, right?
Is anyone named Geely? All right, so anyway, this movie grossed $7.2 million against a $76 million budget. Now, if you looked at just the cast, you'd be like, oh, wow, there's some people in this. Do you know that? Do you know Al Pacino's in that movie?
No way. Well, he's in so many terrible movies.
Do you know Christopher Walken's in it, too?
He's in some terrible movies, too.
Yeah, well, both of these guys were in this movie. So it got a 6% score on Rotten Tomatoes. Imagine being one of the 6% that was like, yeah, that was pretty good.
It was okay.
There's only 9 people listed in the cast on the Wikipedia page, and the 9th one is called... his character is Man in Dryer. So at some point, there's someone in a dryer in this movie.
Right.
So my question to you is, what's the worst movie you've ever seen? And is there any terrible, terrible movie you've ever seen that you would really recommend? Hey, you got
to
see this.
See, now it's pretty easy to avoid terrible movies.
Right.
Back in the day, it wasn't. You had no clue. Because, I mean, we lived in a place that didn't even get, like, Ebert. So, like, we had no idea.
And there was no internet.
Right. There was no internet. And it wasn't like we had a movie reviewer in our local paper.
And if we did, it's not like they would have been at all trustworthy.
Oh, man, I wish we had, though.
Yeah, that's true. That would have been awesome.
Hilarious. Yeah, I mean, there was, like, Pet Sematary 2 sticks out.
Yeah, it was awful.
Which was really, I mean, that might, but, like, that's one of those things where I wonder if I watched it again, if it would be so hilarious that I'd actually really enjoy it.
Pet Sematary 1 was scary as anything.
In terms of modern days and modern age, the only movie I've walked out of as an adult was I Heart Huckabees.
You walked out of it? It was just because it was so bad?
Yeah. I was viscerally angry about halfway through. I was like, I'm not going to spend any more of my life.
It doesn't sound like you would recommend that one, though, because, I mean, it sounds like that more like just made you furious. Right, no, that
I would not recommend.
I mean, there's a difference, because, all right, so the...
Yeah, sure, I mean, like, Plan 9 from Outer Space, yeah, of course it's terrible, but it's still fun to watch.
Here's a movie I really would recommend you seeing. I want you to check out Battlefield Earth.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I really, really do. This is the one that was made by the Scientology guy, right. L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
It had star power, big budget, was actually supposed to be, like, part of a trilogy.
Right.
But was so awful. That they clearly didn't make anymore.
It got 3% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I would really recommend watching it. I mean, I really would. It's like one of those things where you see it and you're just like, this is fantastic. Not for any of the reasons it's supposed to be. Horrible story, horribly acted. I mean, there's so many science problems with the movie. And I mean, it's just terrible. And it was right, like John Travolta spent all these years trying to become an A-list star again. Remember, he kind of disappeared right. for a really long time. Did Pulp Fiction. All right. of a sudden, his stock's never been higher. It's like, what are you going to do with this newfound fame and credibility, John? And he immediately, because he's a Scientologist,
right,
is the lead in this movie and, you know, killed his career again for several years. Now he's Robert Shapiro in the O.J. Simpson story, which, by the way, is fantastic.
Yeah, I have started watching that, yeah. And he's like, perfect for that.
Oh, he's great. He's a great actor.
Supposedly, like, because I've been reading Going Clear.
Oh, it's great, great documentary and great book.
So I've been reading up on him, and, like, apparently he was ready to leave Scientology, but they were going to out him. Basically, just, like, they have access to everything about, like, that's how they keep control, so.
Out him as being gay?
Well, yeah. I mean, but, like, anything that could be... You know, that could have been harmful for an actor in the 80s, they were going to expose. So he really had no choice. They're like, okay, we'll ruin your career if you decide to leave. So he just was like, all right, I have no choice, so I'll stay.
Do you think it would improve our ratings if we got, like, the Scientology community after us?
It might improve the ratings, but I don't want to do it.
No?
No. They're, like, they're the kind of people that would clone us just and then have their clones walk around our neighborhood.
Well, signing off, hopefully we're going to get this thing out on time.
Yeah,
for a change. Got the weekend to work on it. Hopefully we'll put this out on Monday. This is Nat the Truth Jones.
It's Johnny Good Times.
We'll see you guys later.
Take it light. Rickety Brown.